This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
And those are key components. So you're right. You don't have to have 27 degrees and 55 letters after your name to be a great writer. You just have to be able to put, I guess, not be able, but commit to put the work in.
I would
hire somebody who is aware of the amount of time it takes to create something that's special over somebody who had all the degrees. I like to work with people who are workers, who are hard workers and want to achieve excellence. If they're okay with status quo, we're probably not going to get along very well in the writing world.
What about the charlatans that are out there en masse? I know when I was younger, we called them vanity presses, and that would be, you know, give us, you know, I one time had a dentist on my show. And he said, we paid this company down in South Florida $35,000 to put out this book. And he said, you're the only radio show they booked us on. And so, you know, I mean, and not everybody should be a writer. And out there today, it's like everybody can write a book, and there's these charlatans out there that'll gladly take $10,000 or $20,000. I just want to protect the people that are listening to this. I mean, that's why consulting with, and you're not doing this, you haven't said this, but I think even just one consultant hour with somebody like you to make sure you're not getting ripped off or to give somebody direction on how they should do this is well, well worth the investment, you know?
Absolutely. And I actually have done quite a bit of consulting in my career just because I want to be that person that can help and guide and help, maybe help you not make the same mistakes I made early on. The vanity presses, which are never called that anymore, but they're still out there. I got to tell you, for your listeners, if you are interested in publishing something, make sure that you have it professionally edited before you put something out there. That's the first thing, because we all need editors. I would never ever publish something without having it being edited by somebody other than myself.
Okay, hold on. Explain what an editor is, because, you know, people think that they've got to have the whole ball of wax. Explain what an editor does.
So an editor, if you've written your what we call the first draft and you've got it all down, you've given birth to this project on paper, but you need somebody to edit them in and tell you where there are holes, and where a content editor will come in and say, hey, first four chapters are strong. I feel like we drift off somewhere in the middle here. We might need some more, some real stuff here, not just stories. It's too fluffy. We need some more facts and figures and stuff. You need somebody to be able to look at it who doesn't maybe know your story, even know you very well, can just say, hey, we're missing some information in these chapters. That's what a content editor does. And then you have somebody who comes back in and does like the line edits, just making sure that the grammar is right and you didn't miss an like the nice transition between the two paragraphs, those kinds of things. Those are different jobs. Usually they're two different editors. And if you do sign with a publishing house, a reputable one, they'll provide those people for you. But if you're going to self-publish or use what we call the vanity presses of yesterday, then you want to make sure that you've already had it professionally edited. You know, you can do print on demand on Amazon or many different outlets, and you could write a book today and print it tomorrow. But will it be worthy of the paper it's on if it hasn't been edited? And you know, nobody's going to trust what you have to say if you've misspelled seven words on the first page. And that's easy to do. So make sure you have a professional editor. And then I always like to talk to people who've already experienced something. That's why I think the reviews on products or the Yelp reviews are so great, because before I go stay anywhere, I want to see what TripAdvisor has to say about that hotel. Did it ever have bed bugs? You know, like, is it clean? Like, I like to know those things before I just go to their website and see the pictures of the rooms, right? Because that's going to be the best case scenario. So I think it's the same way. I would always research to see that company, talk to other writers who had their books published with them, because they'll usually have a page that shows all the other books that they've done. I would connect on social media with those writers and ask what their experience was. Trust me, they will give you the lowdown. You know, and then you can make your decisions after that.
That is so, it's funny, just a simple word like that is so important. Last year, I have a friend of mine, and I'm an artist, and the Lord late in life gave me this gift for art, and I've sold quite a few, but he took about $5,000. We've known each other since we were in our early 20s, and he's now a grandfather, but he took $5,000 of his own money and decided he was going to help me get my art out there. Well, he went to this company, and then after we paid them the money and everything, we found out, first of all, they create a website, but if you ever leave them, you don't get to take your website. And then we had a man from ACT Computers locally who's a real genius when it comes to computers, and he said, their equipment that they have is not capable of doing high-res copies of this, and they're using, what is it, the software that's like 10 years old. And so we were, you know, we got ripped off essentially for you know, I think it was called Art House or something, but we essentially got ripped off. Well, you think about it, all these wannabes out there, you get $5,000 a person. Every 10 people, that's $50,000. And, you know, so it's now, once again, you can protect yourselves. Michelle has not is not compensating me in any way, shape, or form. She's just an author that I met when she gave a class at a convention. But I want people out there to not have happened to you what happened to me. So what is, again, what is your website if somebody wants to buy one of your 112 books? She also has children's books. She's won the top number, the fourth top best children's book last year. Congratulations. That's phenomenal. So how do they get in touch with you?
Oh, that's it's through my website, and I'm a two-L-er, Michelle. So it's MichelleMedlockAdams.com, and Medlock is M-E-D-L-O-C-K Adams.com. And there's a contact form where you can join my newsletter and you can email me through there. And I'd be happy to answer questions. And I still do consulting on the side. When I have my own children's book imprint now called Ren and Bear Books through InGame Press. So I had to cut back my consulting hours just because that takes a lot of time. But I still do that. And I still like to help people because, listen, people helped me on the way up. I didn't, if I hadn't had those mentors in my life, I don't know where I would be. I mean, God opens those doors and you have to be willing to walk through them. And I was, but I had a lot of help. I had someone pulling me, sometimes dragging me through those doors because I didn't know what I was doing. And I had to ask people. And I'm so grateful for people like Denny Boltinghouse, who's now gone to heaven with Howard Publishing. I could turn to him and say, Denny, I don't know about this. And he would just be straight with me. Well, this is not a good idea. Or people like Steve Lobby. He was my agent for a little bit. He was somebody that I could ask questions, and I knew that he would tell me the straight answer about something. I didn't have to, he wouldn't sugarcoat it. In other words, I wasn't going there to be pumped up. He'd be like, no, that's really not a good idea. He would, you know, I had those people, John Riddle, a great marketer, somebody I could turn to and say, what do you think about this marketing idea? You think this will work? That's a guy who just, he's a, got a brilliant marketing mind. The, Ron Jordan was my editor at that magazine. And he was the one that worked with me to become a ghostwriter so I could make a living to put my, you know, help put the kids through college. I mean, I have all these people who already paved the way for me so that I could just ask them questions. And so I think it's wrong of us who have learned some things to not then turn around and help somebody else. So I'm willing to help.
The only thing is, ouch, it can, when you've got your little baby and this is your creation and you, you know, somebody gives you a dose of reality, it's very hard. That's why I like people to correct me via either text or an email. Because let's say you say something, you and I are face-to-face, and you say something that maybe goes, ouch, to me, I might defend myself, only whether it's my pride or my ego or it's just sensitivity. Whereas if you write somebody something, then they can go back and reread it a few times, and finally you start to wake up and go, well, you know, she might just be right about this. And that's hard. That's got to be difficult because, like we were talking about Debbie Maycomber, I was shocked when she invited me to her 25th anniversary out in Vegas of writing Random House or whatever. And I was shocked that she has these editors. And these editors have been with her for 20, 30 years. Yes. And those people go in, and you got to put your ego aside when they say, you got a great idea here, but you've lost the audience in the fourth chapter, as you said.
That's absolutely true. And I don't think any of us, if we're being honest, ever outgrow that whole ego thing. I mean, we, you know, we give it to God and we ask him to make us more like him and all of those things, but we're still human and it still hurts. It's, you know, when you birth a book, it's like your baby. You said that earlier. And so you put it out there and someone tell in the natural, if you call my baby ugly, I'm probably going to take you out. You know, don't mess with my kids. And so it's the same way with this book that you've birthed and you've nurtured and you've raised up so far, and you give it to somebody to take a look at, and then they tell you it's not good. That is, there's no way for that not to be hurtful. But you have to know that these people, if you trust these editors, and hopefully you do, or the person that's looking at it, and they have the credentials to back them up, and they know something, or you would have gone to them. You have to trust that they are whatever words they give you that are critical. It's the criticism wrapped in love. They're trying to help you become better. And it's not like I love that. I'll never forget going to this. It was in Dallas. We lived in Fort Worth for about a decade. And I went to this writer's seminar in Dallas because I was always trying to get better. And I took an article with me specifically to have reviewed that had already been published because I knew it would be good and I would get like lots of accolades. I didn't take one I was working on. I took one specifically that I knew was already good, that because I wanted them to like brag on me. Now that's kind of stupid, but that's what I did. And instead of getting bragged on, the guy obliterated it. I have never seen so much red ink in my life on one piece of paper. And I was like, are you kidding me right now? I mean, this has already been out there for the world to see. And it was that bad. I cried all the way home. And it was in my early 20s. And my husband, we went out for dinner that night. And I was just sulking around. He goes, let me understand this. You wanted to go there to get better. The guy's helping you get better. And you're mad about it? I don't get it. You know, spoken like a spouse would say. But he's a man of few words because I talk all the time. But when he speaks, it's usually very important. And so I took what he said to heart, and he was right. And I went back the next day for the second session because I did want to get better, even though my ego had been completely bruised.
But,
you know, once we think we've arrived, then we're already in trouble. We're always learning. We're always getting better.
But we have to be careful because to differentiate the naysayers, because there are people out there that won't even be honest enough to themselves if they're jealous of you. I know that Debbie Macomber tells one of those stories, having sold over 240 million copies of her books, 8 Hallmark TVs, shows, specials and stuff, movies. She went to a seminar like the one I met you at before she was famous. And all of a sudden, in front of the whole crowd, like in this half of a stadium or whatever, this lady pulls out her book that she's partially written. And she says, oh, good. Oh, she picked my book. Well, the lady proceeded to say that this person should never become an author. And it's terrible, terrible, terrible. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and yet later on, Debbie goes on to, like I said, sell 240 million copies of her books. So the point is you do have to be careful because there are naysayers, you know, and there are people that will be jealous of you. You know, you have a great appearance. You have a sparkly personality. And when I went into class, I said, I'm sure some women are probably pretty jealous of Michelle. My mom told me years ago when I got into the radio business 28 years ago, she said, you better have thick skin like a duck and let it roll off your back. Because she was so wise and I was stupid. But it took me 20-something years to learn that some people, they can't help themselves. They just don't like you because you diminish them when you walk in the room.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Rhett Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.
Make us a new creation. Make us a holy nation. Bring us to our knees. Show us your majesty. Let us hear your voice. Let us know the truth. Change the way we live. Change our hearts for you. As we sing, holy, holy, Lord Almighty, hear us when we pray. We sing, holy, holy.